Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. And I am here bringing you the latest world news and health research, because that's what I do every single day for my health masters, friends, and families. And we still have Dad linked up. He's broadcasting from an undisclosed location, and he is here with us, though. So how are you doing, my friend? How you sound? Do we have him? I have no sound from him. So I guess we do not have him. That's nice. I was just kidding. We don't have him linked up. No idea what's going on with that system over there. But in other news, we do have the healthmasters.com B-Complex on sale. That'll make you feel a whole lot better about him not being on the show right now. So B-Complex formula and Health Masters product of the week. You voted. It won. 16% off right now on the B-Complex formula. And on a regular basis, we put everything up for vote. And on Wednesdays, you guys know, you vote, it wins, product of the week, it goes on a big sale, including sometimes the Purple 6 on sale. They haven't been in a while. I just made one here earlier, so we get a lot of stuff done this wonderful Monday morning. We got another cold front coming in, I think. It's going to be in. Back on? You back with us now? No, we do not have it. Sorry about the technical difficulties, guys. They'll figure that out later on. But while we're at it, I'm going to bring you guys more updates on thebrowershow.com. You guys have seen here all the different articles we always put on the site with the podcast show every single day and at browershow.com. Excuse me. And you guys go up and get update links at the Brower Show. And to my name, first name, last name, email, click the Brower Show and Health Masters Report. Subscribe and get that sent right to your email every single day at thebrowershow.com. So be sure to check that out on a regular basis. And one of the first articles I have today, which ones I was trying to pull up here, it was a really good health article I wanted to start off with. Ah, yes. It says, new research suggests the cause of the blood clotting side effect from the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, this reasoning here is why we have the spike protein survival kit, which is the vitamin E formula, the natokinase, and N-acetylcysteine. I've told you guys before, strategically, why we put those three supplements together, what it does for the body, how it detoxifies the body, and also how it helps prevent these blood clots that we've seen from COVID vaccine, allegedly, again, not making any claims on it. But we're seeing this new study now, and published in New England Journal of Medicine, from researchers from Australia, Germany, and Canada. They analyzed 100 patients who basically took these developed vaccines. And again, do we have you with us? No volume. Anyways, so we have this. They took the vaccine that basically caused.
I am here. You hear me now?
No, I hear you.
Right.
Glad to have you with us. They found the VITT, the vaccine-induced immune thrombosis, essentially was changed in the antibodies, causing them to switch from harmless to harmful. It says when the immune system encountered foreign invaders like viruses, bacteria, vaccines, which mimic an infection, one way the body fights them off is through antibodies. The antibodies bind the foreign invader, putting a target on its back so the immune cells can kill it. When patients were given the vaccine, their bodies produced so many antibodies that targeted components of the vaccine. When they were mass-produced, new changes are introduced to create optimum antibody that kill off the invaders. Since part of these platelets and antiviruses share similarities, the single error made the new antibodies bind to the platelets rather than the virus. Exactly how and why the specific mutation occurred, they're not sure. They said it might all just be a random event. Not in a random event. That RNA gene therapy was already tested numerous times in the past, and they knew they could not roll it out on human usage. That's why the FDA back in 2017, 2018 said you cannot do clinical trials on humans with RNA gene therapy. That research has been looked at and now completely ignored. Sure enough, the COVID virus came about. The pandemic or plandemic occurred, and suddenly it gave the excuse for the approval of RNA gene therapy vaccines that have never been approved before for clinical trials, and yet they were rolled out with only 3 months of trials, allegedly. I don't even think it was that, personally. I think they already knew what they had. They already had the clinical trials put together. They're botched clinical trials, by the way. They completely and totally manipulated. And they did that to roll out that shot to get it on the market. And they were well aware of what it was going to do. And here they're saying, we still can't even understand why it's doing this, but essentially the virus is basically not being attacked at all by the antibodies. The antibodies are attacking its own blood platelets and causing these massive blood clots. So again, just another more tidbit of information to tell you why. Really important to stay away from that nonsensical shot and continue to keep your blood viscosity thin and healthy. That's why the vitamin E is so good at helping out with that. And also, two CoQ10. It's also been another one of my favorite supplements that helps out with blood viscosity and also cardiovascular health, which I got another health article I'm going to cover here later on in the show, and a few other good health articles. So you stay tuned to it. And do we have you back up and running, Ted?
We are here, my friend. Can you hear me okay?
Now I can hear you just fine. We got him good on the mic on your side, Rich? So you have no visual for him. Okay.
Well, I'm seeing a visual on me right now. I got signal.
Just that you're not seeing it? You seeing me while he talks? Well, if you do that, switch over to camera 4 and let him talk. All right, my friend, what's your first health article today, since I don't know what's going on with the cameras here?
Yeah, I don't know either. Apparently, some kind of switches got switched on our cameras and our podcast here. But I read an article. Can you hear me okay now?
I hear you great.
So I've got no video.
No video, but the healthmasters.com website's up on camera 4 for your video. So you're just a big, giant bottle of B-Complex talking.
Well, that's all right. I don't mind being a bottle of B-Complex, but you might want to put us on, put a picture of me and you up real quick while I'm talking.
There you go. All right.
I have to have Mike Bear. Oh, Rich, check your texts. Mike Bear said he's trying to contact you and you're not picking up. But okay, a linoleic acid. You know, we've talked about this a lot, you know, about omega-6 fats. There's a brand new article just came out with Christopher Adamo, and it talks about the effects of increased intake in the standard American diet and associations with chronic disease. And these are the omega-6 diets that we've been talking about so much, Austin, that people have that are so toxic. And it says it's massively increased in the standard American diet and is providing up to 25% of total caloric intakes coming from omega-6. And it says it's causing massive increases in cardiovascular disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, among others. Lowering the dietary of linoleic acid can help reduce the production and accumulation of these different types of compounds. And is warning people now that these seed oils are unbelievably poisonous and toxin, and they need to be completely eliminated out of the diet. And I was reading that this morning. I started thinking we've got to cover this with the listeners today because it's that important that we understand that we have to be staying with the omega-3 fats like the cod liver oil, et cetera, and staying way away from the omega-6. What do you think?
You're spot on with it. I had a good friend come over Saturday night. He brought his son, and him and Hunter got to play. We did some training with some of their airsoft guns, and it was interesting because I was having a conversation with him because he just got off a really, really good detox fast, and he's been feeling great. He told me he was off of it a couple days, and basically he started having his gut messed up again. And I said, well, what are you eating? So we kind of started dialing it in, and sure enough, we found out that a lot of the food that he was just starting eating again after the fast had soybean oil in it. And I told him, I said, you know, and he's well aware, he's pretty healthy. And I said, the issue we're finding now is that this stinking soybean oil, this canola oil, is in like all of your daily average foods if it's processed at all. I said, this is the problem. I said, a small amount of this stuff on an irregular basis probably isn't going to have an enormously horrible impact on you if you occasionally get exposed to it. I said, the issue is, in my opinion, these big agri companies now have strategically put this food, this oil, in all these different foods all across the board. So it's not like you're getting exposed to it on like one meal here or one thing here, you get a cookie here. It's the fact that like every single thing you buy at the store now has either canola oil or soybean oil in it, and even the doggone organic stuff now. I mean, you look at a lot of the organic foods, they've got canola oil in them. They've got organic canola oil, which I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. And so what's so irritating about this is no matter how hard you're trying to eat clean, no matter how hard you're trying to stay away from the stuff, you've got to keep reading the labels on it because it is so infested, so to speak, into everything. And this is one of the reasons why I tell everybody, you've got to do the research on what you're eating. You've got to read labels on a regular basis because even if you do a detox fast, even if you come out and you're feeling great again, if you go right back to eating this stuff that we're seeing now is just It's becoming to the point where I personally think these seed oils, especially the soybean oil and the canola oil, those two at the top of the list, I think they're becoming so prevalent in foods and they're causing such an enormous inflammatory impact on everybody's gut, so to speak, that you've got to detox out of them. You've got to try to stay off of them the best you possibly can. Cook at home as much as you can. Use foods like, you know, good, clean brown rice, some organic chicken, some green beans. Keep the meal simple. Stay away from the stuff and let your body heal on it. But, yeah, interesting article on that again. Just another reason why we got to make sure we're staying away and staying off these oils, especially if you're trying to have your best absolute health, Dad. What do you think?
You know what's so funny? It says prior to the 20th century of the total – have I got my camera back up?
He's up now.
Camera's okay. Working now?
We'll just put it on camera four then.
Is my camera not working again?
No, it's not. You're audio only, bud.
That's all right. Prior to the 20th century, the average intake of linoleic acid was under 2% of the total caloric intake. The biological optimal range is approximately 1% to 2%, but current seeds consumption of seed oils in the United States, Austin, and all of the stuff being told that was we were being told over and over and over again that basically animal fats were bad because of cholesterol, which is a complete and total consumption of seed oils, approximately 200 million tons per year, with a projected rate of 258.4 million tons by 2026. In other words, it's going up, and it's exactly what you just said, Austin. It's even in health foods now, and now they're finding it in potato chips, cookies, pastries, and bread, as we've seen over and over again, including health food derivatives. I remember there used to be a health food store over in Tampa, and it's out of business now. It's Whole Foods put them out, and I remember they had their own private baker, their own chef who was German. He did a great job, but everything he used was hydrogenated oils, hydrogenated everything. And I finally went to the owner and I told him, I said, you know, you're telling everybody these are health foods, but you're pumping them full of hydrogenated oils. I said, this is junk. I said, these are terrible, terrible things to use. And he said, well, the guy won't cook any other way. He doesn't know how to cook with real butter. And I thought that was so ridiculous how bad that was. But it also goes on and says that these they don't have any health rates. They said the omega-3-6 ratio is supposed to be almost all omega-3s and hardly any omega-6s whatsoever. And it says one reason omega-3 fats are particularly beneficial is due to their anti-inflammatory properties, especially that which is derived from the animal sources like cod liver oil. We have our fish oil. It's incredible for that. Similarly, diets that are rich in whole foods as opposed to synthetically derived foods have been shown to reinforce this. But let me give you some statistics real quick. This will actually blow your mind as far as the different types of amounts of linoleic acid and all of this food. And I'm going to post this article, and it talks about how it goes through the membrane lipid barrier on the cells and causes all kinds of problems and inflammation inside of the body when you eat this. This exactly happened to your friend the other day when he went on that cleansing thing with GHI, then when he got back on the doggone oils, the soybean oil. It's just soybean oil is so poisonous, it's so toxic, it should never be put into the body. And it also talks about this problem associated with Alzheimer's disease, cancer, dementia, obesity, and diabetes are all associated with oxidized metabolites from omega-6 oils. I mean, it's unbelievable how bad this is. And the more stuff we see, the more we start to realize that it's causing so much of the problems that we have with insulin resistance, which then of course they put you on the injections for the fat loss because of insulin resistance. And the reality is if you got rid of the omega-6 fats, you probably wouldn't have to do that. You would just burn body fat and it'd be a lot easier. But let me go ahead and pull down on the bottom of this list. I want to give you some statistics here on this because I think we've talked enough about this morning. But the reality is that we've got all of this stuff that we have all in our food supply, and this stuff is literally killing us. It really, really is. That's why I'm so glad that, you know, that Kennedy is going against this. Safflower oil is 70% linoleic acid, which is unbelievably bad. Grapeseed oil is 70%. We used to think grapeseed oil was good, but it is not. Sunflower oil is 68%. Corn oil, 54%. Cottonseed oil, 52%. Soybean oil, 51%. Rice bran oil, 33%. Peanut oil, sorry guys, a lot of people like to have peanut oils and have their french fries cooked in peanut oil, 32% linoleic acid. And canola oil is over 20%. Olive oil is around 10%. The problem with olive oil is they can go from 3 to 27%, Austin, because so many people cut the olive oil from other countries with seed oils and are not tested properly coming into the United States. Avocado oil is a good choice. It's 10%, and that's not too bad. And then tallow, beef tallow, is only 3%, Butter is 2%. If it's organic grass-fed butter, it's 1%, and coconut oil is 2%. So ideally, if you're going to cook your eggs in the morning, use grass-fed butter or tallow, which are both 1%, but eggs don't taste that good in tallow. They taste great butter, and it's a lot healthier for you when you do that, but you got to avoid it. Now, one other thing I didn't realize either are the meats. Chicken is high in linoleic acid. I didn't know that, Austin. Beef is not. And that's kind of frustrating me because I eat so much chicken, so I have to really take a look at this. It also talks about different types of nuts. Poppy seeds, 62% linoleic acid calories. Wheat germ, 55%. Walnut, 53%. Pecans, 50%. Pumpkin, Brazil nuts, sesame seeds, all around 40%. Peanuts, 32%. And pine nuts, 33%. It says the best ones to use if you're going to use nuts are hazelnuts, cashews, and macadamia nuts are only 2%. So there are a lot of good choices as far as nuts, but the vast majority of nuts you need to avoid are only eating small amounts of caloric intake, not be eating handfuls of nuts, which can really be really bad. Now also cows, buffalo, sheep, lamb, goat, deer, elk, and many other game animals are good and have very low linoleic acid in their meat. However, chickens, because they're raised with so much soy and other things, chickens have over 25% linoleic acid. But chicken eggs only have less than 1%. So chicken eggs are healthy for you, but the chicken itself, not so good. So we have all these. I'm going to post this article for you so you can see it. But it's a very, very telling article. And I think it really gives a lot of good information as far as what we're going to have to do from a health standpoint if we want to stay really healthy through our entire life. But, of course, it says now, you know, saying very clearly, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease through the roof with linoleic acid. And so we've been told for all these years how healthy it was for us. You know, eat your canola oil, eat your soybean oil, all of it. Total and complete lies. Awesome. Also, on that first story that you talked about, how these shots are causing all of these, quote, unintended side effects, that is a complete and total lie. The research that was done on the mRNA shots was very thorough and very well done. It was done over 20 years ago. They knew exactly what it was going to do when they did it. They knew it was going to affect fertility. They knew it was going to attack the testicles. They knew it was going to attack the ovaries. It was all done on purpose as a bioweapon, Austin.
You're spot on, my friend. And I mean, this is why I talked about the research has been scrubbed. You know, when DARPA first started developing RNA gene therapy technology, which was actually spun off from CRISPR-9 gene editing, they basically had to halt a lot of their testing with. If you look at the old research, much of it was redacted or classified, but because it was showing that basically a lot of the super soldier programs were using CRISPR-9 and RNA technology, and there were a lot of unintended side effects doing that. Secondly, I think you nailed it on the head, because I've been perturbed now since you brought up linoleic acid and chicken. I've been looking at it here, thinking about it, wondering, and I think you nailed it on the head. I would like to see some independent testing done on chicken that was completely free range or on true organic non-seed oil feed versus a lot of the mass-produced chicken. Because I bet you money, if you look at full free range chicken that's not fed a bunch of soybean and canola and all these other crap seeds and all this other crap oil, I bet you their linoleic acid levels would be much, much lower. I think that's why it increases, because chicken shouldn't naturally be that high in linoleic acid. I think a lot of it has to do with the feed that they're on, because like you said, with bison, elk, all those ones you mentioned there, majority of those are free range. They're not fed the stuff unless you got, you know, deer that you're trying to hype up in your corn feeder next door. But even at that, they're still not going to be that high in linoleic acid. So something to be aware of. Another reason why I tell you guys, getting good quality chicken is really important. Chicken's one of the most heavily used meats as far as with steroids and antibiotics. I remember at Sam's years ago, and I took a photo of it on my old phone. I don't have the photo anymore. And Sam's had this big sale on chicken breast. And it was their Member's Mark, Great Value brand, whatever chicken. And I remember they were packaged up. And I mean, these chicken breasts were like this big. I mean, they're as big as my head. I mean, they're puffed up, fluffy looking. It looked like they injected them with like estrogen and like just steroids. I mean, they look so fake and watery and puffy. And I remember looking at them. I'm like, it was cheap, like a couple dollars a pound. Like hardly either, like $2.99 a pound. And I'm looking at it. I'm going, gosh, I don't think it's all just injected water weight with a bunch of fluff and just hormones in it. And sure enough, later on, they've done a lot of research on most of those chickens when they're abnormally big like that. they just pump those things up with hormones the last couple weeks before they slaughter them to get a huge, huge weight so they get a lot more yield when they process them. And so that's one of those things where you've got to do your research on where you're getting a lot of your food from. Because another article here that popped up from the Egg Raw Egg Nationalist, and this is interesting, it says new study of 30,000 people show that individuals who eat more ultra-processed foods display distinct structural changes in their brain regions related to hunger, cravings, and decision making. They've called ultra processed food weaponized food for good reason here. And this is one of the posts they have. Ultra processed foods trigger stronger cravings for even more junk food. And it goes into detail here as far as on what's going on. And it shows that people that eat enormous amounts, like 80 to 90%, which the average American, by the way, eats 70% ultra-processed food. That's the average. They're saying that 80 to 90% of ultra-processed foods, they're doing brain scans, and they're finding that regional parts of their brain are actually structurally changing due to the ultra-processed foods. Now, it's ironic about this because I talked this article about 4 years ago showing how Big Agra and the ultra-processed food companies actually looked at it the same way tobacco companies did. And these ultra-processed food companies, I covered this entire story on how they were developing specific formulas with X amount of fats, sugar, and processed fats like linoleic acid, with X amounts of sugar, X amounts of basically MSG, and they were actually formulating concoctions to use in their foods and processed foods and cookies and candies and chips and breads and so forth to make the food insanely addictive to the brain, that it was actually giving same reward paths similar to different types of cocaine and different types of basically drugs, meaning they were causing you to become insanely addicted to them as much as drugs were just by eating these foods. And people gave me flack on this article, and they're like, well, it's not that serious, it's not that addictive. And I'm like, au contraire, look at the research. And sure enough, they're looking at brain scans, and they're showing, dude, it's exciting the brain pathways to such an extent that people will sit in line for 20, 30, 40 minutes after work to go get their ultra-processed Chick-fil-A slop, their goy food, or they'll sit Taco Bell, or their McDonald's. Guys, these foods are designed to keep you insanely addictive and insanely sick. That's the only purpose of them. And make enormous amount of profits, I should say. That's it. You got to understand the slop that they're trying to feed you guys. It's not because they like you. It's not because they want to feed you. It's because they want to make money off you while making you sick and addictive to them. Once you grasp that concept and you understand the purpose of a lot of these ultra-processed foods and a lot of these basically fast food companies, I have talked to so many people that get addicted to Chick-fil-A. You know, Chick-fil-A, you know, it's a Christian company. It was a Christian company. Their basis, their ethics, their morals, their quality is not ever what it was 30 years ago. Not even remotely close anymore. It doesn't exist. The old Chick-fil-A you knew is gone. And that's why I've talked to so many people. And they go, dude, I don't know why. I'm always craving Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, you're addicted. Same way people get addicted to Taco Bell, McDonald's. I'm like, it's not an accident. It's not a rarity. It's the norm. People get unbelievably addicted to this food, and now it's showing even more now on this research study here that there's structural changes in the brain region that control hunger, cravings, and decision-making, making it harder to resist them over time, meaning you're willing to sit in line for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes after work when you could be home, when you could be making food, when quite frankly, you know, one meal now, I was looking the other day with like McDonald's, it's like $10, $12 if you get a big meal with fries and a drink and all that. And I'm sitting there going, dude, you can go to Publix, go buy about $20, $30 of organic chicken with about organic rice and vegetables, and spend that amount, $40, $50, $60, and have food to eat all week instead of going to fast food. So again, my thoughts on that, and another reason why you really got to start reading the ingredients, because the same thing we said earlier, this canola oil thing has been a trend for years, and it's getting worse. And just because it says organic or basically it's high quality or natural, any of that, doesn't mean it's not going to have this stuff in it. So it's something to be aware of and really, really start addressing. And that's why they're starting to push the these GLP-1 drugs for years now. It says him and hers now stop offering the semaglutide drugs following FDA scrutiny. The company offered a compounded version of the drug that was not approved by the agency. Essentially, the telehealth business, him and hers, will now stop offering customers basically compounding semaglutide used for weight and diabetes control on February 7th. Post on X, they said this compounded drugs or medications created by licensed scientists. And they're saying now that essentially the active ingredients in the medications, such as Ozempic and Wegovy, which deal with GLP-1 drugs used to diabetes and weight loss, are being discontinued. And a lot of that has to do with what's going on now with this gigantic lawsuit with $3 billion class action lawsuit on this, Dad. And so another reason why, look at these drugs, change your diet, stay away from them as much as possible, in my opinion. What do you think?
You know, it's crazy because I'm reading more and more of the seed oil stuff, and it's linked directly to obesity now. I mean, we know that. And it directly interferes with mitochondrial function, directly makes your energy levels go through the floor. And they make you unbelievably sick. And that's why the United States we're having to do this. We have to fix this. I mean, I've talked to you guys before. I mean, years ago, I was talking about trans fats and hydrogenated oils. And I mean, I did thousands of radio talk shows, sometimes up to 40 shows a week talking about it, and made a huge impact. Finally, the Food and Drug Administration got involved in hydrogenated fats and basically started putting warning labels on stuff. It said, you got to list it all as toxicity. And of course, then all of a sudden the labels all started changing. They started using different types of names for them so they could try to hide them still. But that's even been a problem for them. They've been exposed. But another main reason also why seed oils are so bad to the body is they remain in the body for extended periods of time. The half-life of linoleic acid, a soybean oil, is approximately 680 days or approximately 2 years. That means it takes approximately 6 years to replace 95% of the linoleic acid in the body with healthy fats, making this the primary reason to always lower your your linoleic acid intake. 6 years, Austin, to get that junk out of your body to replace it with the good fats. And, you know, it's just crazy. It says, furthermore, the refined sugars contained in many ultra-processed foods are rarely present without seed oils. The body can only store a limited amount of carbohydrates in the form of sugar called glycogen that are primarily stored in the liver and muscles. In the absence of an adequate sugar and carbohydrate intake, most individuals exhaust their glycogen stores within several days. And, you know, and it's crazy when you start looking at the mitochondria and then what happens when you put the omega-6 fats in there, it destroys mitochondrial function. And it says it destroys the organelles inside the mitochondria to produce the energy. And approximately 85% of the body is through the generation of ATP during this oxidative compound. And mitochondrial dysfunction develops physical symptoms. Chronic fatigue may arise along with increased susceptibility to disease. How many people you always talk about we have chronic, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome. They're always tired. They're always exhausted all of the time because their mitochondria aren't working. They want to sleep all of the time. And how many of these people have diets that are loaded with omega-6 fats? And we see it over and over. Oh, by the way, also remember beef and goats and all these different types of animals have low linoleic acid. Their diet and their gut is different than other types of animals like chickens, in which they have multi-stage digestion, which converts this linoleic acid and gets rid of it. That's why the beef has hardly any linoleic acid in it whatsoever, and that's why the goats and, you know, and the deer meat has little to do with that either. And but the reality is you've got to make sure if you're having deer meat and people are feeding the deer, you can't be feeding that deer with GMO corn that is loaded with glyphosate because it won't get rid of that. So then you'll be putting glyphosate in your body through the deer. And I personally believe, Austin, a lot of these deer that are having these quote-unquote Alzheimer's types of symptoms, it's because of the glyphosate and the damage, and also because they're eating a lot of grass that has been soaked down with aluminum now from all of the chemical engineering and all the chemtrails they've been putting into the atmosphere. So it's very, very important that we understand, use real butter. You've heard me also talk about that forever and ever. You know, I know there's some real good butters, grass-fed butters, that you can buy at Costco and at Sam's that are really good, and they taste great. If you want to go ahead and get some stuff from them, that's about the only thing I'll suggest that you buy from over there. But it's really, really healthy for you, and it's a lot better for you than anything else that we have out there as far as, you know, those types of oils. And remember, if you're at a restaurant or whatever, always ask them what oil or what they cook the food in, and always ask them to use butter. At this point now, I don't even want to try to mess with the olive oil anymore because so much of the olive oil is adulterated with soybean oil now. It's unbelievable what they do with olive oil. That's why some olive oil, like I said a minute ago, can contain up to 26% linoleic acid. because it's omega-6 and not omega-3. So just have them cook everything in real butter. And sometimes you may have to, on a breakfast buffet, grab some of the tabs of butter and give them to the chef cooking the eggs. Say, please cook my eggs in real butter, because they're using canola oil in many cases, which has been basically had a little bit of olive oil mixed in with it. But it's unbelievably toxic for you, and it simply don't do it, Austin. It's really important.
Well, you're spot on with that. I was at Sam's Club a while back ago again, buying a bunch of supplies for the office, and I went through the food aisle, one of the major food industrial aisles that has all the cooking oil, out of curiosity. I did this a couple weeks ago. I was curious about it. And they got the big jugs of the frying oil and all the different oils. The majority of it was all soybean and canola oil. And you're right. They had one big pallet that was basically olive oil and other. And it was essentially olive oil cut with canola oil. It says it right there on the jug. And so it allowed it to do it. It had a higher percentage of olive, the canola oil. So it was allowed to call it olive oil, essentially, on the label, plus. And so it was like 60% olive oil, 40% canola oil. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Be very cautious, even at restaurants, if they start saying, well, this is olive oil. Yeah, it's 60% olive oil, but it's got 40% cut in it. And so it allows them to kind of play that label game change where they say it's this, but it's really that. And so you can't, oh gosh, you got to do your research on everything now, unfortunately, as much as that is rough. Now, other news too, this is something I wanted to cover on here. I've been telling everybody about this for years, and this kind of goes back to privacy. And privacy is something that I think a lot of people are starting to take for granted now. In this digital age and world, you know, it's becoming increasingly easier to compromise your privacy, allow it to go unfettered, have all these different agencies, companies, websites, everybody watching, monitoring, spying, you know, following everything you do all the time. And it's happened very slowly. And so at the same time, while we're watching the food decay, the food get worse, people get sicker. And it's almost like people have so many other issues that are going on. They're not worried about losing one of the most important things in their life. And that's the privacy. That's what people laugh at me sometimes, because on my phone, I always have the cameras taped up. People bring up something, they laugh at me. They're going to tape on your camera? Like, yeah. It's like, why? I'm like, because it's nobody's business what I'm doing. I said, you do understand these are all tracking control devices. And they go, Austin, you're being tenfold hat, paranoid conspiracy theorist. I said, Am I? There's a video that just surfaced, a photo. I don't have it on my computer. It was on my phone earlier. I was trying to get it over. It didn't go over. And there's a photo of Netanyahu on his phone, and he has an Android. All of his cameras are taped up on his phone. Now, I'm not promoting Netanyahu. I think he's a complete and total low-life, degenerate war criminal. However, isn't it funny that that guy has his cameras taped up because, well, he knows what these agencies do in monitoring. You watch the movie Snowden. That goes back 20 years ago on what was going on with the NSA. And he's telling everybody, he goes, keep your laptop cameras covered up. He goes, all these agencies, all these tech companies, all these apps that you have on your phone now, they all have open access to your cameras all the time. So no matter what you're doing, it may not even be nefarious. You're just being you. You're with your family. You're with your wife. You're with friends. You can monitor and watch, and then you have these companies now that watch and monitor all you do on your phone, on your selfie camera, while you're scrolling, while you're texting, while you're calling, while you're emailing, and they monitor everything you're doing. And people go, this is nuts. Well, take it a step further. People have voluntarily put these cameras in front of their home now. This is an article here on Substack. And this just says, Amazon's Ring and Google Nest unwittingly reveal the severity of the U.S. surveillance state. Just a decade after global backlash was triggered by Snowden reporting on mass domestic surveillance, the state corporate dragnet is stronger, more invasive than ever. That the U.S. surveillance state is rapidly growing to a point of ubiquity has been demonstrated over the past week by seemingly benign events. While the picture emerges as grim, to put it mildly, at least Americans are again confronted with a crystal clarity over how severe it's become. The latest round of valid panic over privacy during the Super Bowl head on Sunday. During the game, Amazon ran a commercial for its Ring camera security system. The ad manipulatively exploited people's love of dogs to induce them to ignore the consequences of what Amazon was touting. Give me camera 4. It seems the trick did not work. That highlighted what the company called its search party feature, whereby one can upload a photo, for example, lost dog. Doing so will activate multiple other Amazon Ring cameras in the neighborhood, which will in turn use AI programs to scan all dogs. it seems, and identify the one that's lost. The 30-second commercial was full of heart-tugging scenes of young children and elderly people being reunited with their lost dogs, but a graphic Amazon image used to seemingly have unwittingly depicted how invasive the technology really is. Does this capability exist in a product that's long been pitched as nothing more than a simple tool for homeowners to monitor their own homes created? It seems an unavoidable contrast between public understanding of Ring and what Amazon now boasts what it can do. Many people were not surprised but quite shocked and alarmed to learn what they thought was merely their own personal security system now has the ability to link with countless other Ring cameras to form neighborhood-wide surveillance dragnet. Now, this was found very clearly, what, a couple weeks ago, when Minneapolis, when everybody started going up there, they started saying, turn your Ring cameras off, unplug them, pull them off, disable them. Because I could care less as far as your own demise, you use these things. They said ICE and DHS has a contract with Amazon to be able to access any Ring camera in the entire country. They said it. We're using the Ring cameras to see if we can identify any persons of interest for ICE to go in and apprehend. And now the crazy part about this is they're telling you, we have access to your camera all the time. We monitor your camera all the time. We listen to your Alexa all the time. We give all your information to DHS and Homeland Security all the time and ICE. And people go, it's fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't care what they do. That's besides the point, and that's the most apathetic ideology mindset you could possibly have in your life. Can you get any lazier? Why do you think they're not going to use it against you eventually? You know, I told you I watched that movie the other day. It's called Mercy. Very strange film. Probably not worth going to movies to see, but because it's got like zero publicity, but it's gotten a lot of mixed reviews because the whole basis was 2030. Los Angeles crime gets so bad, they implement AI judges to basically start determining whether people are guilty or not. And they are having access to everything in the cloud. So the law enforcement has access to everything. And they show this in the film. And it's not totalitarian to where you think it's futuristic, like Terminator back 40 years ago. It's real technology they have now. They barely say it. They're using Ring cameras. They're using surveillance cameras. They're using everybody's phones. They're using everybody's internet. And they monitor everything 24/7. They say, you've been convicted now. There's a 97% certainty that you're guilty. This AI judge telling him. And he goes, that can't be true. I've been set up. Here's the evidence. Here's documentation. Here's the video footage. Here's everybody that was at your house yesterday at the party. Here's all of them leaving in their cars with their tag numbers. You were the one who committed this crime. He goes, but I wasn't. Yeah, it was. 97% certainty you committed this crime. If it's 97% certainty or more, you can now be convicted and you will be put to death. This is the technology they have. This is what they're doing. So be cautious. If you want security systems, have them on a closed loop formula. All my cameras are hardline in my house. It was a nightmare to run. But they're completely internal. Nobody can connect to them. If I don't want the internet on them, the internet's unplugged. And it's all internal camera systems for me to monitor anytime I want. Nobody has access to them anywhere in the entire world at any point in time with no internet service. That's what you have to do to maintain this. And I get it. If you have a camera like on a rental house, I knew some people would do this on Airbnbs. They put some of these Ring cameras up so they can monitor on their phones. Again, your choice of what you want to do. Just pretty much put it this way. Anywhere you put an Amazon camera, anywhere you put a desk camera, that is going to be open access to anybody to see at any point in time, including law enforcement. If you're okay with that and you don't care about your privacy and it's a rental home, that's up to you. But again, my opinion, I stay away from a lot of this stuff now just because the more you compromise on it, the more it further goes down the line, the more data it's allowed to build and stack upon you in these systems. Because remember, all this intel, what do you think the AI systems are for? What do you think the data log centers are for? They build profiles on every single person. They'll have 50, 80, 100, 1,000, million data points on you. Everywhere you've gone on the internet, what you're looking on cameras, Ring, all that stuff. So again, my opinion, stay off it the most best you can. Protect your privacy. That's just my opinion on it. What do you think, Deb?
Well, it's funny, you know, your brother was telling me the other day how he's a state prosecutor, and he said that, you know, people basically confess, you know, on the cameras that the cops are wearing, and there's no way you can go in and defend them because they basically tell the whole story to the cop.
Yeah.
And I have another friend of mine, she was following her kid who had an expired tag, and the cops ended up pulling them both and talking to them both, and they tracked her all over Central Florida and told her everywhere she had been from Ring cameras and other cameras that are up. People don't realize this technology is very, very real. And they can completely lock into the cameras everywhere, like you said, with law enforcement. And if you want that on your house, that's up to you. But the reality is that they're going to tell you where you've been, too. I know you can go to some of these theme parks, and they can give you a video for the day, and they can track you the entire day with cameras and give you like a DVD of it, of you and your family seeing all these attractions on recordings. And you don't even know the cameras are there. I mean, years ago, I remember I was able to go into one of the back rooms at Disney where they had literally hundreds of cameras on the wall. And I saw them. I was in the room. I saw them, me personally. And what happened is I had gone in there with this before they started really making a big deal about having concealed weapons at Disney. And they told me that I had to either put my gun in the car or I put it in a locker. And they took me back into security. And they showed me this whole room that was like, you know, monstrous, that it was all cameras on the walls. And I thought, wow. And those are just the ones that they showed me. I don't know how many more cameras they had. So that's all over the place. And it's like you said, Austin, it's the AI data centers are going to be used to process all of this information to determine whether somebody's done something wrong. Whether they did it wrong or not, it doesn't make any difference. If they have a preponderance of evidence against you, they can file charges on you. And that's what happened to my friend who was following her kid who didn't have the doggone license on his car, the tag.
Yep, the flock cameras.
Yesterday I was... I listened to this really good article. This guy had about a 20-minute DVD video on YouTube, and he was talking about what do you do if you get stopped and you have a concealed weapons permit and you have a police officer stop you, how much information do you give him? And he said in some states you are required by law to tell them that you have a concealed weapons permit and you're carrying a weapon. He said other states you are not required to tell them anything. And he says the biggest mistake that people make when they get stopped with a cop is they start running their mouth, they get nervous, they start just they turn into Chatty Cathy,
yep.
And they start talking. And he said, don't do that, just shut your mouth. This guy was an attorney. And he says, just be quiet. He says, and if they ask you questions, all you have to do is say, officer, I don't want to be rude to you, but I don't answer questions. I have a right to remain silent. If you want to give me a ticket, give me a ticket. It's up to you, your choice. And you remember that one time we got stopped in a car, and the police officer was asking me all these questions, and I looked at him. I said, officer, I said, concerning any of the stuff we're doing right now, I can't talk to you without my attorney present. I said, if you were to come by the house and, you know, and watch Florida State football and have a pizza or whatever, you're more than welcome to. I was being real nice to him. I said, but as far as answering questions right now, I'm not going to answer any questions. I'm going to exercise my right to be quiet. And that's the biggest problem that we have. And also, when we have Ring cameras everywhere, you don't have that right any longer. You're being constantly surveilled. And a lot of those cameras have microphones, so whatever you're saying in some cases is also being picked up. So it's a real problem for a lot of people now because the right to remain silent is being infringed upon. And when they tell you, when they stop you, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, that's not a joke. They're telling you they're going to use that against you if you say anything. And at that point in time, how do you defend yourself if you confessed on camera? You know, if you confessed, you know, without a camera, you can always rescind your testimony and say you were confused. But if you're basically sitting there in a camera situation and talking to a police officer and spilling your guts, what they'll do is they'll give you the opportunity to perjure yourself. Now, listen to me, everybody. They'll give you the opportunity to twist your own words, and then they'll come in and say, this, you know, Mr. So-and-so or Ms. So-and-so, they lied during the interview that I was talking to them. They changed their story two or three times, and they won't tell that you changed the story. They'll say they lied. And sure enough, this person who got stopped by all these Ring cameras, they said in the interview they did with her that she had lied. And before it was over with, she was charged with 5 felonies and arrested. I mean, unbelievable. Because she couldn't keep her mouth shut. She kept talking, and they said that she lied multiple times because they twist up the stories. Remember, a police officer can lie to you. Remember, this is very important, to get you to spill your guts about stuff that you may or may have not have done or to twist the story. They can lie and lie and lie. Oh, don't worry about this. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to pay any attention to what you say. Just go ahead and tell me what really happened. And they have you on camera doing that. So be real careful. It's like, you know, this is from the New York Post today. And you were talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, and I agree with you as far as how you feel about him. But now there's an Israeli producer of an Apple TV spy thriller called Tehran was found dead in an Athens hotel. And that's an article by Chris Bradford. Dana Eden, the producer behind the hit Israeli show Tehran, had been found dead in an Athens hotel room, according to Greek cops. The 52-year-old was found dead Sunday, and police are probing her death as a suicide. She was in a Greek capital filming the 4th season of the Apple spy series, which revolves around a Mossad agent trying to infiltrate the Iran regime, and her body was found by her brother, according to the broadcaster. It says that he grew concerned when she didn't respond to his text messages. She was found with bruises on her neck and the lower parts of her body, as reported by a local outlet. And now they're coming in saying that they're dismissing any reports of foul play. Okay, well, did she have a noose tied around her neck? I mean, what the heck? Did she hang herself, or did somebody try to hang her, or did somebody choke her out? It's unbelievable. The production company wants to make it clear that the rumors of the death being criminal or nationalistic are not true and baseless. Now, how do they know that if they already have not, you know, known what happened? It's like Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, sending out nets, you know, in Texas right after Charlie Kirk died. How in the world did he know that Charlie Kirk was even dead and been shot? And so he knew that. So the sad part about all of this stuff is when you see this kind of stuff happening, you don't realize how invasive we have become in the world and in our country, as far as, like you said, with that movie Snowden. And that also, that was 20 years ago. He said everything was being monitored. Now it's much, much, much worse. So my condolences to the family of this lady who was found, you know, deceased. But the reality is you have to ask yourself a question. Why are they all of a sudden saying there's no foul play here before the investigation even takes place? And I'm not saying there is foul play, but I'm saying, why don't they say we need to have an investigation to find out what happens instead of denying foul play, especially when she's doing something as sensitive as a TV show on Mossad and infiltration into Iran. I thought that was very, very interesting of what's going on with that. Now, a place that we need more cameras, apparently, are sexual assaults on airplanes, Austin. They're saying now that there are a lot more... No, listen to this. I thought it was a pretty good segue. This is from CBS News, and people are now getting sexually assaulted on long airplanes, like overseas, by guys who've been sitting around drinking too much. And it says sexual assaults on airplanes are up and likely unreported, a CBS News investigation finds. And it talks about this lady who felt trapped in the middle seat on a flight from Chicago to Florida. I remember when this happened, we reported on it. This is back in 23. She said the man sitting next to her in the aisle seat was visibly drunk, smelled of alcohol, and he sexually assaulted her on the airplane. Now, the crazy part about all that is why are these stewardesses that are so always micromanaging everything on an airplane not paying any attention if you get stuck sitting beside a drunk? Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
And why don't they put you in another seat? And of course, a lot of these planes now are running completely full with no extra seats in them. But somebody should be told not to give that guy more and more alcohol if they're in the back of the plane buying, you know, getting booze and getting all liquored up on an airplane. It's dangerous, and it's bad to be by a sloppy drunk. The other night I was over at Tampa Airport, and I didn't tell you this, and I had to go out to the parking garage and get my truck, and there were two drunks in the doggone parking garage. I mean, they were drunks. And they didn't really harass me, but they were being pretty brazen with me. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. Why in the world don't we have security out here in these parking garages? And why in the world am I having to deal with two drunks at, you know, 11 o'clock at night? And why aren't there people monitoring what's going on inside right now in these parking garages, which has always been known to be a crime scene many, many, many times?
Oh, you're spot on as far as parking garages. I've always told people that you got to use full situational awareness in parking garages. And one of the issues I've seen and I've heard from stewardess as well with planes, a lot of times people, A, drinking way too much on planes. That's one problem. B, a lot of times people take medication before they go on planes. This is very common, much more common than you realize. People take certain types of antidepressants, benzodiazepines like Xanax, because they have anxiety to fly. Then when they get on the plane, they start drinking on top of the Xanax or benzos or antidepressants, which has a massive exponential compounding on how the effects of alcohol on top of elevation. And so a lot of times these individuals get way too drunk, way too fast on planes. And then you're sitting in a sealed fuselage 40,000 feet in the air with somebody that's liquored up. And so it can be a real problem. So, yeah, be aware on airplanes. One thing about it, though, and you're going back to law enforcement and running your mouth and body cam footage. This is an interesting story. I'm not going to give any names out. There's a dealership that I know down towards South Florida that a guy works at. And the owner of that dealership got busted with a DUI. Well, it's getting dismissed now, ironically. I'll tell you a story. So the owner, the owner's pretty savvy. I've met him before. I don't know him that well. But the guy that works with him was telling me a story. And he said basically he was out. He was one of the demo cars they have. And he said he was out with a couple of his buddies. He had like five or six beers. And he chugged the last one before he left. But he's guy's like over 200 pounds. He's not, he wasn't drunk, but he shouldn't have been drinking anyways. I'm not condoning that. But he got pulled over. The cops basically started asking him these questions. He said, listen, my attorney's not present. I can't answer any more questions. They said, well, we need to go ahead and do a field sobriety test on you. He said, no, unfortunately, I'm not going to basically take a field sobriety test unless my attorney's present. I'll be happy to call him for you. They said, you're refusing a field sobriety. He said, no, I'm not refusing. I will not do one without my attorney present. They said, okay, we need to do a breathalyzer. He said, again, I'm not going to do that without my attorney present. I'll call him on the phone if you'd like. Here's the thing you got to understand with this, and I'm going to tell this really, really clear, because I'm not condoning drinking and driving, but what I'm saying is, if an officer's already about to start having you do field sobriety and basically breathalyzer, there is a usually pretty high degree that they already are planning on taking you to jail for DUI or something. Most officers don't ask questions they already know the answer to, or they're not already going to try to imply them and set you up for them. There's an officer out in Tampa that got brought up years ago, and he was like, had like the highest pedigree of basically DUI arrest, and he was known for it. Like, he'd brag about it. He was known for it. The Tampa Tribune, they pretty much, he arrested everybody for DUIs. And he was pretty good at spotting alcohol. But he was like, you get pulled over by him, he's going to find a way to charge you the DUI. Anyways, back to this business, dealership owner. The officer goes, well, if you don't comply, you don't feel sobriety, the breathalyzer are taking you to jail. And he said, would you like me to get out of the vehicle? Would you like my handcuffs? Are you handcuffing me in front of my hands or behind my hands? The officer goes, what do you mean? He said, I'm not doing anything without my attorney present. I'm not speaking. I'm not doing anything. This is my attorney. This is his phone number. Call him if you need to. And sure enough, they took him to jail. They tried to book him on DUI. He got an attorney. They're already basically in the process of getting dismissed now. Because what happens is they go, well, it's failure to comply. Ah, contraire. Now, again, all states are different. But he goes, his attorney goes, how is he failing to comply? He said he would comply with you if I was present. Judge goes, well, he would fail to do it. He did not fail to do it. He said he needs to have counsel there in order to maintain his basically security and basically his civil rights. And so a lot of times people don't realize when the officers start that crap with you, why did you walk on the line? I need you to do your alphabets backwards while you're standing on one foot and clapping back and forth behind you and in front of you at the same time you answer all my questions in between the alphabet. Some of the field sobriety test guys, if you haven't figured this out, it's designed to make you fail. While you're doing field sobriety, you know what they're doing the entire time? They're recording you. They're recording you. They're watching everything you do, and they're building an entire case against you while you do all the stupid crap they ask you to do. So again, not condoning it, but if you are getting that position, be very, very cautious. I'm not giving you any legal advice, but you really need to evaluate the situation, because the more you say, the more you do, you're just building a case for the prosecutor. Again, my stance on that. Also, too, in other news, one article I wanted to cover here and go into. I had it up earlier. Let me pull it again here real quick. It was going into detail. Where is it at? Stand by. I'm trying to go in between. Ah, yes. They're showing now preliminary research opened new possibilities for heart attack treatment as muscles are shown to regenerate after a heart attack with proper supplementation. The study published in Circulation Research in December 2025 was led by researchers at the University of Sydney. They examined the heart tissue from 9 people who had suffered heart attacks. The study used living tissue samples from patients undergoing bypass surgery. The premortem tissues, living samples, were taken from consenting patients who received the first time live tissue was taken. And a fracted sample, a heart that undergone a heart attack, would be used. Researchers compared the heart samples using various imaging, genetic protein, and metabolic techniques to identify cells that were actively dividing. They identified heart cells going mitosis, a process where cells replicate and reproduce themselves during growth and repair. By using specific cell markers, they were identified as going through the stage of mitosis in the early and late phases. They said, until now, we thought the heart, because heart cells die after a heart attack, those areas of the heart were irreparably damaged, leaving the heart less able to pump blood. One research shows while the heart is less scarred after a heart attack, it produces new muscle cells, which open up new possibilities. And essentially, they said the regenerative theory is gaining momentum. And a lot of the theory now is that the proper supplementation, like CoQ10, collagen, other nutrients that your body needs to repair and rebuild any type of tissue or connective tissue or ligaments or muscles as the same way. Remember, the heart's a muscle. Now, again, I'm not giving you medical advice on here. This is all preliminary research that's fairly new, and they're looking at it now, finding, yes, the body can actually heal parts of the heart after a heart attack. It's still scarred. You still have that, but it's like you tear a bicep tendon or a bicep muscle. It can repair itself eventually. Sometimes you need surgery. Sometimes you don't. Now, you're going to be scarred up. you have a chunk or a gap or a piece that's not quite where it used to be, but it will repair, and it can also still be very strong later on if properly healed up. And so this is why I always tell people on a regular basis, you've got to make sure you're taking your regular supplementation, you're keeping your body with the proper nutrients like vitamin C, like CoQ10, like good amounts of protein, nutrients that your body needs. I use the analogy all the time, and it's a very, very active one. If you buy a brand new car, and you basically go buy a brand new Corvette sports car, you buy a new C8, and you've been saving up for it, you're going to take care of that car. You're going to wax it. You're going to put premium fuel in it. You're going to maintain it. You're going to change the oil in it. You're going to do everything you can to make sure that car stays in great shape because you're proud of that car. Why is it that we treat our bodies completely different and worse than our vehicles that are just metal and steel? People have their bodies, which you only get one of them, and they sit there and treat it like it's some old, beat-out, clapped-out car that's about to fall apart. They feed it soybean oil. They feed it high fructose corn syrup. Then they wonder why their liver's swollen. They wonder why they got non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. They wonder why they're having all these weight and obesity problems. It's because you're putting trash in your body nonstop. Like Dad just said earlier, it takes about 2 years to get this linoleic acid out of your body, the soybean oil, the canola oil. This stuff is unbelievably toxic to the body, and in my opinion, it's one of the main reasons why I think a lot of people have an issue losing weight now is because this fat is so hard to get rid of. Stay away from it at all costs. Choose what you put in your body. You have a choice. Every morning you wake up, you have a choice to be in a good attitude or be a bad attitude. You can choose to be positive. You can choose to be negative. You can choose to go eat your Kellogg's high fructose corn syrup, cereal with ultra-processed milk, or you can choose to cook some organic eggs and grass-fed butter. The choice is yours. You have that option every day. You have continual options every single day of what you want to do, where you want to go, how you want to eat. Choose wisely. Do life, do death. It's up to you. You got the option on it, but every day you have a choice. Pick it. And so again, my friends, thank you for coming on the show. Dad, thank you for being hooked up today on here. Glad you got to tie in with the show on here. Any closing thoughts on here before I close out the show?
Well, yeah, the whole thing about it is right. You're right, Austin, as far as we have to treat our health like it's the most valuable asset. I promise you, if you're sick and you're dying and you have no energy and you have mitochondrial dysfunction and you're massively obese because of omega-6 fats and you can't lose the fat and you have to go on these weight loss drugs to do it, you're going to wish you'd eaten right. And you'll do anything if you got enough sense that God gave a jackrabbit to try to change it and get it right. But don't go to that level. It's like the Bible says. You quoted it earlier in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. God gives the Israelites choices. He says, if you eat this, you're going to die. If you eat this, you're going to live. Now choose life. Don't choose death. I mean, he tells them. I mean, he has to give them the cliff notes so they'll listen to him. And they still don't listen to him. They still sacrifice their children to Baal. It's awful what they did. And so the sad part about it is if God gives you a handout and says to you, hey, look, here's your health manual. This is what you need to follow. You kind of need to pay attention to it because he is the one who built you. And if he tells you not to eat pork because it'll increase your risk of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and we know now, and it's the number one cause of cancer globally, you probably don't need to eat it. And so I always tell that to people. If you know that high fructose corn syrup is what you want to drink or in the soda that you want, you don't need to do it. If you know that aspartame's in the soda is going to be linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, and optic nerve degradation, you probably don't want to eat that either. And so just learn how to avoid this. All you got to do, guys, to make your life a whole lot different is cut out omega-6 fats. When you go to a restaurant, ask them, what oil do you use to cook the stupid French fries? I don't even eat French fries. But ask them, and they'll tell you it's soybean oil, or they'll say it's vegetable oil. Well, that's going to be soybean oil or corn oil or a blend of that. That's all it's going to be. That gives you the perfect incentive right there to say, well, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to put that in my body. And just remember, it may take 2 years to get it out of your system. But what else are you going to do? You might as well work on getting healthy in the next 2 years and instead of getting sicker, Austin. And that's how I see it. Every day is a brand new day for health. Every day is a brand new day for healthy choices. Every day is another day to serve the Most High God and to serve Jesus. Every day is that. Let's make it that every day, Austin.
Spot on, my friend. I appreciate you. And you're 100% right. Every day you got a choice. Good. You wake up in the morning. I'm going to be extremely positive today. I got stuff going on. Sometimes it sucks, but I'm going to push through it. I'm going to stay positive. Or you could say, I'm going to be angry all day. I'm going to be mad because the sun's too hot and the sky's too cloudy, and I'm so angry. Okay. That's a one way to look at it, but I can promise you, most people I know that live like that doesn't turn out very well. So choose what you want to do. Put positive food in your body, put negative food in your body. The choice is always yours. And, you know, that's why I tell everybody, make sure you're reading labels, know what you put in your body, make sure you're taking high-quality supplements and getting the right nutrients in your body to maintain maximum efficiency. So, my friends, thank you for being on the show. Healthmasters.com, you need anything. B-Complex on sale product of the week. I'm going to keep some stuff knocking out today and staying busy this week. Hope you guys are doing the same. Stay healthy. Stay strong. Call us if you need us. Email if you need us. Healthmasters.com. I'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always, my friends. Have a good one.